Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Hey, Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show! It's coming in on the red light. We're running away, it's running tonight. Impossible comes true, it's taking over you. This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. With your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right, this is the Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 285, with your hosts, Mike and Gary. My name's Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in sunny Southwest Florida. How you doing today, Mike?
Hi, Mr. Klinsman. Good evening.
Good evening. What's new in your world?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
No. Well, that's good. I guess we'll just wrap up this first segment. Maybe we'll make this a super quick episode. We'll just talk for like 45 seconds.
Okay.
And release it. Wouldn't be the worst thing. I mean, people...
The most downloaded show to date, Billy.
Yeah, Bew. Most people probably would not mind an abbreviated episode every once in a while. Nothing new? You haven't been playing golf. You've been beatup.com, huh?
Yep.
So it started off with your Achilles and now you got your foot flaring up on you?
A little bit, yeah.
You on the mend or are you getting worse?
I'm on the mend. Okay. I signed up for the gym tomorrow, so it'll be the first time in over a week that I'm going there. So
you'll have to take it a little easier, I imagine, getting back into it the first time.
Well, we'll see.
See how the body holds up.
Yeah.
What now? Did one relate to the other, you think?
Yes, they say that one, yes.
Okay. Because you were not moving around as much, then you had more.
No, they just said if there's a little trauma in the foot, then you can get the flare up.
Oh, jeez. That's something you don't enjoy, if I can remember correctly.
No.
It's miserable, isn't it?
It's the worst pain there is.
I'm surprised.
And when you sleep all night and you're stiff, like I woke up the first morning and like I fell back in bed. Like I got out of bed and I couldn't put weight on it and I fell backwards.
Oh, because you weren't ready for it.
Yep.
You didn't know it was coming. Ugh. It sounds pretty miserable.
I mean, it's so bad that I have to ask Kristen, can you get me some ice?
Just to put on there?
Yeah, and then can you get me a glass of water? Like, I'm completely worthless. It's terrible.
It's useless. But you're moving around a little more now?
Oh, walking the dog, signed up for the gym. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
That's good.
I was watching, I watched so much Amazon Prime on Saturday.
Oh, did you? What were you watching? Catching up on Sopranos or anything?
No, so, well, no, on what?
The Sopranos.
No. I've actually been watching Growing Pains.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Show me that smile again.
Show me that Melnick.
That's a little before your time, wasn't it?
I watched that show.
Did you?
With Alan Thicke, right?
Yeah.
The Seavers.
Tracy Gold. Mm-hmm. I think the runoff was the Seavers after that.
Wasn't that the one that had Boner? Was the best friend's name? Boner?
Yeah, Boner. Yeah. Vincent Stumpton Bone. That was his name, Vincent Stumpton
Boner.
Kirk Cameron, yep.
Yes.
I wonder if Doc's young, too, because I was going to say if she was a few years older, she would have had one of his like posters in her room.
Yeah, probably not. She was more like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, yeah.
Uncle Jesse, more of her generation?
I guess. Even that like would have been younger.
Even that's a little...
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, okay.
We watched that, but we were young when it was on.
Okay.
It wasn't like poster level.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cameron, he's on like Tiger Beat magazine or whatever.
He was so good in that show. He was perfect. Well, he was me.
Yeah, is that right?
Like, we're watching that and Kristen's like, that's so you.
Just a weasel.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Anything else? Or you just like binged Growing Pains?
No, so I binged that for a while and then I was looking for their whatever you call them series. Like
an original?
Original.
Yeah.
And they followed the Michigan Wolverines football team.
Oh, really?
You have Prime. You have to watch it. It's fantastic.
Why is it so good?
Because just inside, so it's like their practices, the kids going to school, just the whole season.
So like it's like meetings. Hard Knocks, except it's
yeah, but it's college. Yeah. It's really good.
It's interesting.
It like makes you like it makes you like Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, really? That's hard.
It
to
shows
do.
A different side of him.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it was really, really, really good.
Hmm. So you caught up on all that. That's good.
Yeah, there was 8 episodes, and I hammered that in between like late afternoon into early evening.
Okay. Goes by quick, doesn't it?
So, I mean, it was a productive day. Don't
sure.
get me wrong.
Yeah, sure. I had the New Hampshire golf trip, the mini gentleman's trip
yeah,
in New
you
Hampshire.
You want to talk about that
We
now?
Can talk about it a little bit. Played 2 courses.
Okay.
Played the Owl's Nest.
Which was Friday?
That was Friday morning, yep.
Okay.
That was fantastic, that place.
Yeah, because Friday, you were a mess talking about that golf course.
It was great. I loved it.
It was almost like you were cheating on Lake Buena Vista.
No, it's different, though. Like, Lake Buena Vista will still is near and dear to my heart, but Owl's Nest was so different than anything I'd never played in the mountains, you know? Every hole had, like, a beautiful scenic view, and a lot of elevation changes, and the holes were good. It wasn't too long of a course. Like, a lot of strategy. It was hitting a lot of hybrids and 3-woods off the tee instead of drivers, trying to play it to the 150 marker. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. A lot of elevated tees.
Yeah, quite a few of those. And then, you know, I didn't have any... I only had one Hosel Rocket on Friday.
Round?
Yeah. It was on a it was on a par 3 on
oh,
the front.
No.
And it kicked out of the woods. I still made bogey.
Oh, so what'd you hit off the tee?
Like a 6-iron.
Oh, you hosled a 6?
Yeah, right into the trees, and it came out, and then I chipped it up and 2-putted. So I got
it. Now, what was your feeling when that thing went off? Were you like, oh, no?
No, I knew what I did as soon as I did it. I felt it, okay. And I said, I can turn this around. So I started up. So I hadn't played since the end of May, and I started off with 8 straight bogeys. That's not too bad.
No,
the
that's
first
good
eight
plan.
Holes.
Yep.
I made some nice putts. I was making some good putts there, and then...
So you had some bogey saves.
Definitely. Nice. Well, not the back 9, I had better putts, but the front, I was just solid, like 5-footers for bogeys going in, feeling pretty confident. And then on the 9th hole, as a par 5, hit a good drive, not a great second shot, and I had like 155 in for the 3rd shot.
And what do you mean not a great second shot? Were you laying up, or did you ground ball a 3-wood?
I ground balled a 3-wood.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm listening to your 3rd shot yardage. And
yeah, so it was... I had like 240 in, so I figured it was wide open. I said, I'll just smack a 3-wood, and I just topped it 100 yards. So I get up to my 3rd shot, and I hit it just a little short. So I'm just short in 3. I figure, okay, I can go up and down lucky for par, or at least, you know, get out of here with a 6 and do all bogeys on the front. Chunk 1 chip. That's not good. 2nd chip into the bunker. 3rd chip on the green and 2-putt. So a nice triple bogey from being in front in 3. Go from a possible 5 or 6 to a snowman to end the
front
nine.
What'd you do? Any swears?
I was just frustrated. It's just one of those that you know it's going to happen, especially when you don't play a lot, but you just get frustrated because I was playing pretty well. Solid, anyway. And then the wheels came off for a couple holes after that, and then I put together a nice stretch where I was like 2 over through 5 holes. So I made like 3 pars or 2 bogeys, and then I kind of limped in.
How many pods did you do?
A few pods, a lot of golf shot. That'll play.
Do they know the terminology?
Yeah, they do a lot of it too. So it was pretty good.
Did you have to explain the pods, or did you just use?
Nah,
it?
I just used it a little bit.
Just used it.
But then, well, we didn't have teams though, because there were just 3, so we were just playing. So there weren't really pods, but we still used it a little bit. The second course we played was the Mount Washington Resort Golf Course, which is a Donald Ross design, 1922, I think it was built. That was a really nice course as well. But it was the strangest weather. We got there. We had an 11:10 tee time on Saturday. We go into the pro shop to pay. We said, oh, we're a little early. He said, well, the tee's open if you want to go play. And we said, all right. So we got out, went to the tee, go to the starter, this old guy just smoking like a 9-foot cigar. And he goes, you guys bring rain gear? I said, no. And he started laughing. I said, oh, boy. We didn't look at the weather. Apparently, not a great day. So it just starts raining on the first hole, a little sprinkle. So we're making it happen. Second hole starts coming down real hard. By the time we get to the green on the second, we're parking our carts under trees, letting it pass. We're soaked. So it starts to let up a little. We play 3. The sun comes out. It turns beautiful. Like sunny, 75. We're drying off. everything's going good. By the time we played, got to the sixth green, it was pouring again for another two holes. And then the sun came out again. It did that five times.
Wow.
Finally, we got through like 16 was like the last one. We had the storm. The sun came out. We looked around. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. So on like the 16th fairway, like all three of us, we said, I think we're going to get through this. And lo and behold, we get to the 18th tee and it pours again for the whole 18th hole.
Very strange.
Yeah, it was very there, huh? Weird. But that course was really nice too. A lot of good views. And we actually liked that course better, but I'm still like in love with Alsace. Like the actual course, like if you dropped that course anywhere, it would be a great course. Where the first one was like very dependent on the views and being in the mountains. But I enjoyed both of them. It was fun playing those two places.
Now, how much further did you hit the ball up there?
Not much, to be honest. I thought it would because of the elevation, but I don't think it made a huge difference. My yardages were all over the place, though. I bunt it now. I don't know what's going on. Well, actually, I do. When I took my lesson, the pro told me that my loft is, like, the way my swing is coming in, I add, like, 5 degrees of loft to every club. So it's basically I'm hitting 2 clubs down on everything.
Okay.
He's like, you got to work on that. And I said, I don't care about that right now. I just don't want to hit it sideways. He started laughing. So I'm coming into the ball on every shot. So he was having me hit like 7 irons and he said, it's like you're hitting a 9 iron because of the loft that's on the club at impact. And I said, well, I could deal with that. I'll figure that out eventually. But right now, let me just get through. So that was tough. I was kind of all over the place on that. It was good. It was a lot of fun. And then I did have 2 in a row on Saturday, 2 Hazel Rockets on the 10th hole. Par 5, I hit a good drive. And then I decided to lay up second shot, and I shanked it into the woods.
Lay up.
And then I go up to where I shanked it, and I just drop one in the fairway because at that point I was like, I don't care. And I shanked the next one. I said, I'm done.
Nah, I'm out.
I'm in the pocket. But I didn't do another one after that. So only 2 holes out of 36 did I hit a Hazel Rocket. That's not too bad.
No, that's all right, especially with your problems leading
in. I thought it was going to be way worse than that, way worse. So I was pretty happy. Are you missing golf with the injuries?
Yeah. I'm playing Saturday, though.
You are going to play? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we already got our 10 o'clock tee time.
Nice. Is that your usual tee time, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, we're usually 10 to 10:45.
Oh, okay. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
Yeah, I'd love to, Billy. Love to.
All right. So this one is called the Frosty Freeze Watermelon Freeze by the Newport Craft Brewing Company out of Newport, Rhode Island. Established 1999, 4.1% alcohol by volume. We've been a big fan of local ice cream legend Frosty Freeze since before we started brewing in 1999. And it says, it was natural to collaborate with the family who owns it, as the company has been serving Aquidneck Island families ice cream for over 50 years. Our second collaboration, Watermelon Freeze, is a drinkable, refreshingly tart German Berliner Weiss. Its light red hue and juicy watermelon notes remind us of backyard barbecues and summer picnics. Pairs well with vacation days. So that's the one for tonight. It's a little too sour. I don't know. It doesn't have a lot of good water. It's just mostly a sour flavor. I'm not a big fan of it.
You always know what you're getting when you drink Bud Light, Billy.
That's true. I drank Bud Lights after my round on Friday.
Did you enjoy them?
Yeah, they were good. Because we had played. It was actually pretty warm. We had like one of the first tee times on Friday, 6:50, and we were done. We flew through that round. It was beautiful. We were done at like 10:35.
That's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, and then we went over and we kind of like put the clubs away, and the restaurant didn't open till 11, so we went in at the restaurant at 11, got a couple beers, sat down, had lunch out on the patio. It was perfect, but I was like a little dehydrated, and I didn't want to drink some heavy beer, so I just went with the Bud Lights. Nice, easy drinking beer.
And it hydrates you at the same time.
Anything else you want to add here, or should we take a break?
We can take a break.
Dreamer.
All right, back from break, episode 285 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. And this week, we're going to get into one of the newer offerings at Walt Disney World, and they just opened it. And no, we're not talking about Galaxy's Edge. Pew. We're talking about the... You like that?
I like the subtle pew. That's what made it.
That made it, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about at Disney Springs, where the NBA experience just opened, I think this week, right? A couple days ago?
Yeah, I think yesterday, actually.
Yesterday was the grand opening. That's right, as we record this on Tuesday. So this week...
Your buddy was there, Robert?
Oh, Bob Iger, yeah. He didn't look
Robert was there along with that weasel NBA commissioner. Yeah. Yep.
And a bunch
of... He's a weasel,
isn't
he?
And a bunch of cheerleaders. He seems like it. I don't really follow the NBA closely enough to know.
I think he's a chump.
He's a chump. So before we get into like what this is all about, according to Disney's own website, what are your thoughts on this, just overall? Like when they first announced it to what you know of it now, like what did you think of the whole ordeal?
I didn't really have a thought. Did you?
I kind of agree. It was like, why are they doing this, was my first thought. And then I assumed it was going to be like a NBA-themed restaurant, which it's not. It's an actual attraction where they sell tickets. And I still don't really know. We'll get into it more as we discuss what you get with your ticket. But it just seems like such an odd addition. Like, why pigeonhole yourself into the NBA experience? And like, it is such a large footprint at Disney Springs. It doesn't really fit. Like, they've done so much to theme that place to bring it like where it needs to be. Because when it was downtown Disney, it was kind of a mess. Like, there was like different sections, and where Pleasure Island used to be was just like abandoned. And then there was like Disney Quest, which stuck out like a sore thumb. And then there was a lot of big like stores that didn't go together. And now they've kind of themed it all. And then there's this like big monstrosity just in the middle. That's just aesthetically speaking. And then, I mean, the rest of it, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a huge draw to pay what they want for it. Like, how long do you think you can get out of this thing? I can't imagine it's like a 6-hour experience, like 2-3 hours tops for $34 a person. Seems a little high. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a big hit, and I don't think it's going to last that long, to be honest. Over under 5 years for this thing, Bill.
Should we just wrap up the show now?
What's that?
Do you want to just wrap it up? I have nothing really to say.
Nothing to say? You don't even want to answer my over under on if it's going to last 5 years?
I haven't been yet.
That's true. Could be a diamond. Well, let's just talk about it. Let's see what they say on the Disney website. So, the NBA experience at Disney Springs now open. Tickets are on sale for just $34 plus tax. Purchase a one-day NBA experience ticket. Do they have multi-day tickets? Like, can you get like a 5-day ticket? No, there's just one option. They're valid through December 31st. One day only. Footwear is required. Athletic footwear is recommended. Adults must sign a waiver when they arrive. Children younger than 18, the child's guardian must sign the waiver. You can view the waiver in advance, blah, blah, blah. All tickets are non-transferable and non-refundable and exclude activities and events separately priced. So $36.21 after tax for that. So that's where we're starting off. It's open from noon to 11 p.m. That's today's hours, so we'll see if they stay open till 11 every day, but that's where it is right now. And then the first thing it says is, welcome to the hard court. Enter an immersive world where all your basketball dreams are just a layup away. Inside this impressive venue inspired by modern day NBA arenas, you can enjoy 13 unique experiences that merge the magic of Disney with the thrills of the NBA. Step through the player entry tunnel, welcomed by the roar of an excited crowd, and embark on the full player journey from training to competitions to championships and beyond. That sounds not that fun. Okay, so that's the first part. Now it says get in the game. So here's some of the things you get to do, Bill. Put your basketball skills to the test as you dribble, shoot, dunk, and score. Get in on the action with these 5 activities. Dunk. Challenge your skills above the rim. Step up and demonstrate the dunking skills you've only dreamed of until now, and bring your game face for a photo op that's sure to impress. So it's like a short hoop that you can dunk on. I guess that's fun. Shoot, beat the clock, bring home the win. Live out your basketball dreams in this innovative experience. Step on the court where you'll be guided through a sequence of shots with a virtual crowd cheering you on. Feel the thrill of making the game-winning basket. Anything like grabbing you yet here?
Nope.
Okay. Dribble, bounce that B-ball, show off. Grab a ball, hit the court, and let the coach take you through the drills to assess your basketball handling skills. This challenge is designed for a wide range of ages and skill levels, from novice to expert. Okay. Slingshot. Score, score, score. Take your game to new heights in this next-level shooting challenge. Using a large slingshot, you'll try to shoot the ball through the hoop at varying heights. Pay close attention as the game progresses, the scoring changes. Then they have the arcade area. Test your hand-eye coordination at a variety of arcade games. Basketball games up close and personal. Pop a shot, NBA 2K, NBA Live, and NBA Playgrounds. So just arcade games. Then they have the smart move. So there's five more activities, which is the combine, where you stand out from the crowd. Explore the science behind the sport as you put your skills to the test through a series of combine drills. You'll get real-time feedback on your performance to see how you measure up to an NBA or WNBA player. Trivia. Test your knowledge of the NBA and all its leagues, past and present, in a competitive game of trivia. The heat is on as you compete against up to 24 other players as well as the clock. I have a feeling if you go at like 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon in September, there might be one other person playing trivia at the same time as you. Champions, the winning feeling. Relive the NBA and WNBA's rich history in the Hall of Champions, from buzzer beaters to championship victories. The history of these organizations is at your fingertips, so you can follow the journeys and legends whose names have been etched into NBA immortality. Replay, be the ref. Championships are made not only by superhuman player abilities and razor-sharp coaching acumen, but also by the split-second decision-making of officials. All it takes is one call to shift the team's momentum and be the difference between a win and a loss. Those who go home with a championship trophy and those who just go home. Do you have what it takes to make the right call? Correct calls will earn points and, more importantly, bragging rights among fellow couch refs. This all sounds miserable. Theaters. The NBA Experience is home to two custom-made theaters showing new short films that will draw you into the world of the fan and the player. Here you'll connect to the game through immersive storytelling and unique visual and audio methods. Okay, then there's a store, which obviously you can buy all your NBA stuff. And looks like they have a restaurant opening soon. Oh, here's some more things. And the last three things you can do, it's called Insider Access. Draft. The number one pick is you. One of the biggest moments in a player's life is the day they're drafted into the league. Now it's your turn to experience this incredible moment. Players inside the player sanctuary. Enter the off-court sanctuary of the locker room where you can explore current team rosters, records, and highlights from the season and trophy moments in the Hall of Champions. Have your own championship moment with a league MVP trophy to hold high and proud for a thrilling photo op. You'll be surrounded by photos and video clips from some of the greatest championship moments in NBA history, so you'll be immersed in the feeling of victory. I'm kind of speechless. How much do you think this thing cost to build and put together?
Well, who cares? You know who paid for it, the NBA.
Right, but it's just amazing that, like, who in their right mind is going to pay $34 for a family of five? So you're looking close to, what, $200 to go in and, like, take pictures with a fake trophy and dribble in front of, like, a computer screen? I don't know. Like, I've gone to the NBA Hall. Have you been to the NBA Hall of Fame?
I have not, no. All right.
So they had the old one, and they've built a newer one. And the newer one's more interactive. I mean, it's probably 20 years old at this point. But at some point, they built the newer one, which has, like, a full court. You go down, like, you take an elevator to the top, and that's where all the plaques are, and you walk around. It's all in a dome. And it's all the plaques of all the NBA, the Hall of Fame players, with information underneath. And then you go to the second floor, and it's like all these exhibits, kind of like the Baseball Hall of Fame, where there's jerseys and all these different things. And there's a few little interactive things you can do, but they're just small things. And then the bottom floor is a full court, and you could just shoot around and dribble around. And then along the side, it has like arcade-style where you could shoot, and there's like nets under it, and each one as you go down is like the history of the net. So you start shooting on a peach basket and you go up to like all the different backboards and rims that they use throughout the ages. And so you just do that and then you leave. But that's probably like 15, 20 bucks and you actually have the Hall of Fame there. And some of these interactive, like the stuff at this NBA experience seems like a lesser version of that for triple the price with none of the history. I don't know. I'm not too convinced that it's going to be a hit after going through all the things that they're talking about. Nothing in there really jumps out as like, oh, I'd like to at least try that. Like I can't think of a single thing that would be worth. If it was $10, I don't think I'd do it. Maybe just out of curiosity, just to walk in and see what it's like, but I'm not paying 35 bucks to walk in and just to check it out, you know? Who's this
Cubs
aimed
at? Cubs and Phillies are tied right now at 2.
That's good. I need you to contribute something here.
Who's their target audience?
Yeah.
Teenage boys.
I guess. But even, I think they would think it's kind of lame. Like preteen, maybe, like 8 to 12 year olds. It's just such an odd choice, and then the execution seems odd to me. I don't know.
You think Bobby half-assed this? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think it's just, it was a bad idea. I don't think they cut corners or anything. Doesn't look like it. I mean, the thing's huge, nice and shiny, and I'm sure like the technology's cutting edge that they have. But it's just going to fall into disrepair. It's just going to turn into Disney Quest 2.0. Because I'm sure, like, I didn't go to Disney Quest when it first opened, but I'm sure, like, everything was brand new and sparkly, and all the games worked great, and there was a lot of people, and it had a good buzz, and by the time I went, I remember I went once when I was in 7th or 8th grade, and that was fun, because, you know, that was a good time to play all the arcade games, and then
You were playing arcade games with World Be Free.
Bo Outlaw. That's
World,
right.
World Be Free.
I don't think he was around at that point. Tree Rollins. But then I went because we had the, when we went on our honeymoon, we ended up getting an annual pass, so it was included. So we went, and boy, was that like
disappointing.
It was like the ghetto.
Was
like
it really?
The carpets were like dirty and dingy, like the games.
Oh, like cigarette stains at
a filthy
casino.
It seemed like, you know, if you go to like an old movie theater and you like walk in and it's like the gum is like mushed into the carpet and like black.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on. It's like become hardened like cement, but you knew it was gum at some point. It was like years ago.
Yeah, when you walk over it on your shoes, it doesn't stick.
No, it doesn't stick at all.
Right.
Like they used to have these big games that were like interactive, and you're in like a machine almost. Like you would shoot, like you're riding around in this car and you drive over these like dodgeballs and you hit them at other people, and like half the cars didn't work anymore, and like it was just kind of sad. Like everything was in disrepair, and I could just see in like 5 years that's what this is going to be like. Half the balls will be half inflated. There'll be no nets on the hoops. Things, just rooms will just be closed off. Sorry, the dunking experience is closed today. It'll be that way for like 3 weeks.
Would you say 13 different things to do?
Yeah, 13 things.
Yeah, so you're going to pay $34 and there's going to be like 8. The other thing, we've got a few down for refurbished parts.
You do the trivia, the buttons don't work. The screens are all cracked. I don't know. Unless the NBA is like super invested in this working and they just pump a bunch of money into it, I just can't see how this is going to be a success. Negative, though. I just think it's a bad fit.
Oh,
you
it's
think
a
it's a perfect fit? You're excited?
It's what Iger is. Intellectual property. ESPN, ABC, the NBA. Come on.
Oh, I mean, I understand why they did it, but why wouldn't they put this at like the worldwide? No,
Hollywood,
why World of
Studios?
Sports on like a smaller scale to try to draw people there?
Because who the hell goes to a worldwide?
Yeah, I know, but if you put something there that would get you to go there.
Yeah, but you just said that this thing is terrible in the middle of Disney Springs. You think people are going to go out of their way?
I don't know. That's a fair point. Like, even a rainy day activity, I can't imagine spending more than an hour and a half, 2 hours in there. If you asked, and I don't think it is included in, like, the premium annual pass. If it was included, would you even go? If you had to pay nothing?
I think I might actually go.
Just for curiosity, only because...
Just for curiosity, just but if you do weren't, a review.
If you didn't have the YouTube channel and the podcast, you wouldn't even have that curiosity to go in, even if for nothing, right?
No, correct.
Yeah, I think that's kind of... But you might be right. It might just be geared towards families with kids from 7 to 15 years old, and you know that's going to be their bread and butter, and they'll probably think it's cool and whatever.
I think after the show, after doing the show, we're going to have to do it. You and I are going to have to do it on a Jammin's trip.
I can't spend $36 to do that.
I'll expense it.
You'll expense it? All right.
I'll expense it.
Write off for the taxes. That's good, at least.
Because we need somebody videotape, and I think this is a perfect thing for the two of us.
Just having us dunking.
Yeah, I mean, we'll bring that thing, that bad boy, down to about 4.5 feet, and we will throw it down like Shaq. Imagine if you busted it. Wouldn't that be great if you Jerome Lane'd and just shattered?
That would be funny.
Send it in, Jerome! Like, there's a bunch of kids waiting, and you and I are just swearing, talking crap. Like, we dunked over some guy, and then we're getting up in his grill. There's nobody there.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's a good call by Bill Raftery, by the way. I didn't miss that.
On the fly. Like, that's like his signature, but he just did that, you know, on the fly.
I think that was Big Monday, too.
It probably. Big East.
That was a good team. Pitt, right? Jerome Lane, Sean Miller. I think Charles Smith was on that team. That team was loaded.
Sean Miller.
You don't remember Charles Smith, though, huh?
From UConn?
No, he played for Pitt.
Charles Smith.
In the NBA for a while.
Yeah. That was a little before my time.
Paul Evans was the head coach.
Yeah, a little before my time.
Supposedly a Satan worshiper.
Oh, that's good. That was like the Chris Mullin era, right, of the Big East?
Yeah, maybe a year or two after, but it could have been. Yeah, it was in the mid-80s. Chris Mullin, I think, was done in 86, 85, 86. Yeah. I think that was 87, so...
Yeah, I don't think I'd remember at 4 years old. I don't think I was watching a lot of Big East basketball at that point.
I bet he was doing that game with Mike Gorman.
Oh, yes, he used to do the Big Mondays?
Oh, yeah, I think it was Mike Gorman and Bill Raftery.
Now, if they had an exploding backboard exhibit where you could dunk and, like...
That'd be beautiful.
I'd pay $36 for that. Like, the thing just shatters, and they take, like, video of it. That would be so cool. They're just bringing it. They just have to bring out the people sweeping the glass away after every person. All right, 3 minutes to reset. Yeah, I just can't. I can't imagine spending $36 to go to this thing.
That's high, isn't it?
Seems like it for what you get. But you know what, though? This is something just kind of dawned on me. That place is going to be fine because I guarantee you don't have to pay to get in the gift shop. And I bet that gift shop will do great business.
Mm-hmm.
People getting, you know, all their NBA jerseys, hats, mugs, whatever they have, you know.
People's pockets burn, and I guarantee when people go on vacations, they got teenage boys, drop them off for a few hours.
Yeah, that's true.
Mom goes and buys a $400 purse. They go have a nice dinner somewhere, pick the little weasels up after.
I guess that's true. Like, if they're old enough to kind of go off on their own for a little bit, you send them off to do that, you can go... catch a movie or go bowling or just have some cocktails or whatever and then, you know, meet up for dinner afterwards, like you said.
I mean, we didn't know cool from Lane. Imagine if we're both the same, similar ages, we're 12, 13 years old and your dad's taking us on a vacation.
I just don't think I would have had, I would have spent enough time there. Like
I would have wanted to go if it was there, if I was a kid.
Yeah, if they had like the Larry Bird 3-point shooting contest exhibit. They should have just made it the Larry Bird experience, and I'd be there. I don't have much more to add to this. This could be a pretty short episode if we want. I don't have anything else. I hope it works out. I just doesn't interest me. I don't think it's not for me, though. This is for a different market segment.
It's like many things that Disney's getting into. We just scratch our heads.
Yeah.
And then just say, maybe it's us.
I think you're right. I actually came to the realization the other day that I think this is the first time that I can remember in the last 15 or 20 years that I haven't, like, been itching to plan a Disney vacation. Like, the Gentleman's Trip is different, but, like, I don't even care to go to the parks. It's just so expensive, and I like Florida, and I like going to do the other stuff, but, like, the parks don't have any draw to me right now.
That's sad, isn't it?
It's like the first time I'm just like, eh. I'd go. Like, if I had a free, I just don't have the desire to do it. Not a great thing to be saying hosting a Disney podcast, but I don't know. I just thought of it. Like, it was maybe 2-3 days ago. I think when I was in New Hampshire playing golf, I was like, I could get used to this. Like, but that's what the Gentleman's Trip is, you know, just hanging out,
mm-hmm.
playing golf. And it doesn't have to be at the Disney golf courses. It's fun playing those, but we could play any 3 golf courses and have just as good of a time.
Right.
You know, but whatever. We'll see. Maybe it'll invigorate me when I go at the end of
September. I think Epcot always does it for you.
Yeah, I love Epcot. I still love Epcot. Just know there's going to be that big square metal building that I'm going to see. Guardians of the Galaxy.
But I don't know the next time I'm going to go to Hollywood Studios.
No, yeah, I agree with that.
Animal Kingdom? Are you down on that?
No, I like Animal Kingdom. I'm just the whole experience. There's not a lot drawing me to it right now. Just everything's so high.
Everything's so what?
Expensive.
Oh, high, you said.
Yeah. That'll be another show, why I'm down on Disney.
You need to see your shrink again, don't you?
Maybe.
It's that coming up, too. You probably you missed appointment for the golf trip last week. Yeah. It's messing you up.
I don't know. I'm getting depressed now. Let's take another break.
All right.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
All right, back for break. You just got through listening to episode 285 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. And apparently we're going very far beyond the gates because I'm talking about not even wanting to go to the parks anymore. I still love the resorts and the restaurants. The restaurants still make me very happy talking about that. But yeah, like I see all this like Star Wars stuff. I'm like, that does nothing for me. Magic Kingdom, like, it's like, okay. Like, they have the Halloween parties starting already. I'm like, ugh, now they have all the stupid Halloween decorations up already.
Are you serious already?
Yeah, I think they started putting them up this week, because I think the first Halloween party's like, next week. And it's like, all right, so now you go, and it's 90 degrees August 18th, and you're going to see pumpkins everywhere. It's like, okay, I can do without that. I don't know. It's just, just a little down on it.
Do you need to watch a Haunted Mansion YouTube when off the show?
That's the thing, though. Like, I haven't even been watching, like, any, like, Tim Tracker or any YouTubes or anything.
Oh, you're done. Oh, you're done then.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Do we need to maybe do some auditions for a new host? Have we gotten to that point yet?
You can, Schaefer can step right in.
Will you still edit?
No, I will not. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just the editing. I'm just like, maybe if I tell him I hate Disney, I won't have to edit anymore.
This is a sad day right now.
I don't hate it. I shouldn't have said that. That's not the right word. I'm just not, I have no trips planned, and I'm not like itching to plan a trip. You know what I mean?
Now, suppose end of the year, Doc comes home. She goes, I just got this ridiculous bonus. Our company made so much freaking money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's budget $5,000 or $6,000 and do it. Do it up. Then would that reinvigorate? She's like, you pick the hotel, we stay anywhere. And you pick the restaurants. Then would it be like a ding, like that light bulb and the cartoons on your head, or would you still be like,
I don't know.
Right now, I would just say, well, for that much, why don't we do something? Yeah, I don't, like, I'd go if that was the case, but.
You're not considering like a Nashville, Tennessee or something?
No.
You're not to that point yet.
No, I'm not that far gone. No. I don't know. I just have nothing. Nothing's pulling me there right now besides the golf. But there's tons of places to play golf in Florida and other, you know, you could do a golf trip a lot of places. Like, we're staying at some cheap off-property place, and I don't even, like, I'm not even missing. Like, oh, I'd rather be staying at Pop Century or Port Orleans. Like, I like those places, but I'm not even going to be sad to be doing that.
Wow.
I don't know. It's weird. Maybe I'm just depressed. Maybe I need to drink more or less. I don't know.
More or less. That's kind of odd, isn't it?
I'm just at the wrong amount. It's either not enough or too.
Yeah, I guess you are. I either need to have zero or like 30. Eight more.
Yeah.
This was a very Rhode Island podcast tonight.
Why is that? Because I'm
just negative, sad.
I'm not negative. I don't know. I guess I am negative. Just came to the realization, I guess.
This NBA experience wasn't like your last straw, was it?
No, it had nothing to do with that. I think the Star Wars is depressing me.
It's just killing you?
Yeah. Just seeing all this, and it's like, oh, good, come on. The hotels, like the Riviera and that Coronado Tower.
That's
just
bugging
like,
you.
Those bug me. It's just like a lot of things are just moving in the wrong direction just enough for me to not like it. Not want to, like, not desire to have it in my life all the time. And that could all change. Like you said, when I get down there in September and we're playing golf and I hear the train and the monorail go by, that could all just...
Is the train going to be up by then?
Oh, the train's down? I didn't even realize that.
That thing's been down for a while.
Oh, because of the stupid Tron roller coaster, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing. Don't get me started on. No, I won't be up by then. Oh, even so now I'm going to be even more depressed.
Shouldn't have said anything. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you hear that?
We'll just have Doug in the cart playing it on his cell phone.
Me and Schaefer should just blow it and have it on our cell phone. Throw the speakers like when people play golf and they listen to music. Yeah. Hit it, Schaefer. Gary's down.
There we go. Little chip shot.
No, that thing's down, Billy.
Oh, man. I totally forgot about that.
We're rolling on the express. We're rolling on Mickey's Birthday Land Express.
Oh, God.
I'm like, if you were sitting here, I'd be the Kleenex, the little square box from the shrink.
I need to go see Dr. Melfi.
Oh, jeez. Jason Seaver was a shrink, too.
Oh, that's right.
Show me that smile again. Oh, Gary, show me that smile.
Oh, God. Oh, I'll do just hearing the train. Yeah, the train's down, buddy. Oh, boo.
That is the best about saying that the Grand Floridian, though, laying at that pool, just say, roo, roo. You're like, ah, oh, this is beautiful.
I can't believe that. Oh, man.
It's down for the roller coaster. Of all things, too. Yeah.
Building another stupid roller coaster. Okay. You had to open your big mouth.
Oh, jeez. What is Tron anyway? Is that like a movie? Is that
it was a movie.
Or a company they bought? I don't know.
It's a movie. Older movie.
What's a roller coaster have to do with the movie?
I guess in Tron they ride these things that are called light cycles. They look like a motorcycle that just follows like a beam of light. So that's what you're on. You're like on a motorcycle kind of thing. They had it in Tokyo. I guess it's very popular. Or China,
oh, really?
Or Shanghai, one of the Asian parks has it. So they're just copying it from another. At least I'll hear the boats, right? They still got the, you still hear like the ferry boat
coming. They still got those going. Okay. Yeah, they still got those.
It's good enough, I guess.
Oh my God.
Let's wrap this up before I look for like razor blades and toasters to bring in the pool with me.
Toaster.
Toasters, yeah.
Remember people used to get whacked in bathtubs? You don't hear that much anymore, do you?
I mean, I don't really look for it, but I suppose not. I'm a mess.
Show me that smile. Oh, show me that smile.
All right, well, I... You can find us online at wdwbtg.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at wdwbtg. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates Podcast. Our YouTube channel, youtube.com. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates. Email the show info at wdwbtg.com. Gary at wdwbtg.com and Mike at wdwbtg.com. What do you got going on YouTube for us, Bill?
I think this week, last week I did drop a food review. We're at the Hollywood Brown Derby Lounge. Ooh.
Nice.
I hope you get a chance to watch that
one. I'll check that out, definitely.
And I was going to say, I think I'm going to do the Poly walkthrough.
Oh, that's nice. Sounds good.
I was going to say, if you see me on the choo-choo train, you know that was old in the archives.
Well, that being said, I will wrap this thing up. Thank you for listening to episode 285 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Maybe.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-R.